If information is fuel for knowledge, then in light of the information age in which we live, where our kids carry a virtual library in their hip pockets, it would be very easy to conclude that they should have all the knowledge necessary to live happy, healthy, productive, and yes, informed lives. But the facts seem to prove otherwise. This generation of American young people has been called by some, including today's guest, the dumbest generation. Now, if that's true, what can they and we as parents do about it? We'll look up the answer next on Licensed to Parent. Hello, and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. Our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, we talk regularly on Licensed to Parent about our concern that young people are dumbing down. And lo and behold, we've discovered that we're not alone in that belief. We aren't the only ones that are concerned about this.
No, that's exactly right, Rich. I think more and more people are coming to realize that the information age has actually become an arsenal of useless information used like a weapon against our kids as much, or maybe even more, than a toolbox of helpful information used to promote goodwill and well-being.
Yeah.
And this goes for adults, too. But I think it's all just indicative of man's inherent sin nature, where tools meant to promote good too often become weapons to promote evil.
Absolutely. Well, our guest today is a gentleman named Mark Bauerlein. Mark is a professor of English, and that means we'd better be on our best behavior. He's at Emory University in Atlanta. He's also worked as the director of research and analysis at the National Endowment for the Arts, where he oversaw studies about culture and American life. Now, Mark is also the author of the 2008 book, The Dumbest Generation: How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our Future. And I love the alternate title, Don't Trust Anyone Under 30. This book, by the way, won the Nautilus Book Award. Mark lives with his very intelligent family in Atlanta. And I'm not sure if he remembers it or not, but you and he were both featured in the documentary Captivated, which is a film that touches on this very subject.
Yeah. Well, Mark, welcome to Licensed to Parent, brother.
I'm glad to join you, gentlemen.
Well, your book is called The Dumbest Generation, and from where I sit, I regret to say that I'm totally on board with your assertion, but in light of the differences between knowledge, intelligence, and wisdom, what in your eyes actually constitutes being dumb?
Well, we do know that there are some good trends happening. We have more educational attainment taking place. More kids are taking AP courses. More of them are going to college than ever before. But when we look at actual measures of young people's knowledge and skills, in spite of all those higher grades and college attainment, we're not seeing any gains at all in young people. We actually see declines in reading scores for high school students since the early 90s. The SAT added a writing component to the test in 2006. The scores have gone down every single year since then, except a couple of years when they were flat. The SAT reading scores have never been lower, going back 40 years.
Incredible.
From last year. And we find more and more kids going into college and ending up in remedial courses, basically high school level courses, because they don't have the skills to meet college level work. We hear employers screaming about college graduates, saying they can't write, they can't think, they have bad habits, they're unprofessional, they want to text while they're sitting in the workplace.
Right.
So these are all the the signs that I say of being dumb. And I simply tie it to their leisure habits more and more being filled up with these tools and with the texting and the Facebook and the social media and the phone calls.
Yeah. Well, you know, even in your book, you mentioned a study from about 10 years ago that showed that kids were actually overworked and overachieving. How does that line up with the basic premise of your book? And, you know, what should that tell us about studies?
Well, one, I don't trust the 16-year-old who talks about how busy he is, how overworked she is.
Right.
You see a lot of stories about this, and they will talk about how young people are overscheduled and they're overachieving, they're overworked, they're taking too many AP courses. when you look at that, you're talking about kids in the upper 7% of the entire population. They're the ones who are doing all the AP courses, who are doing the internships and the volunteering over the summer, and they're shooting for that top college admission. Mm-hmm. When we get out of that very selective group, things go down very quickly.
That's a good point.
When I hear about all the homework that they have to do, according to the High School Survey of Student Engagement, which is a large survey done out of Indiana University, they ask students, how many hours a week do you read or study for class? 57% of them said 1 hour or less per week.
Mm-hmm.
Not per day, per week. Over half of them. So we have to be very careful when we're talking about the full cohort. We can't just pick that 1 out of 20 that represents genuinely rigorous, steady achievement and heavy workload. No, let's look at the whole group and see where we stand. And when we do, we see among college students, they're doing a lot less homework than they did 30 or 40 years ago. Right now, college students are averaging, with a full load of courses, they only do about 13 or 14 hours of homework a week. Mm-hmm. They barely average 2 hours a day. It's not even a part-time job.
Well, what this ought to tell parents is that data and research can be misleading if not properly gathered, read, and interpreted. What do you hope to accomplish with your book?
Well, it's a provocation, first of all. A book with the title, and I'll give you the full title, The Dumbest Generation, How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our Future, or Don't Trust Anyone Under 30. This is an in-your-face title, and I give a lot of speeches on college campuses to students. I speak to high schools sometimes as well.
How are you received?
Well, you can imagine. Sometimes I get booed when I come on stage. Usually, it is just a sea of glum, sullen faces after I talk. But the goal is not to just be another guy complaining about the kids and walking away. The goal is to exercise a stern, critical voice that engages with the young and helps to lift them out of their adolescence.
Right.
Make them engage. Make them argue back. If they resent this title, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And if they talk back, I listen.
Sure.
And we go back and forth. And actually, through the process of discussing these intellectual matters, the students are no longer members of the dumbest generation. This kind of antagonism between older and younger generations is, in fact, I believe, a healthy thing.
I agree.
When people say, aren't you just another old guy complaining about Elvis or comic books or rock and roll? And haven't we always been doing this? My response is, yes, I'm doing this, and that's my job.
Yeah.
This is what older people are supposed to do. We have a responsibility to address teenagers and let them know that their absorption in the tribalisms and trivia of high school should be a limited and temporary thing. There are more important heroes and villains in the world than those in your class. There are more important events taking place now and taking place in the long sweep of history than what happened at the party last Saturday night. If we don't tell them, look, what happened 50 years ago on the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., is very important. What happened 2,000 years ago in Judea, as a historical event,
right,
just as a religious one, but as a historical occasion, this matters. What was going on in Rome at that time matters to us. They think that any time before satellite TV was the Dark Ages.
Ancient history.
It was ancient history.
Exactly.
What do they care about what happened before they were born? Well, it's our job to break that natural adolescent self-absorption and open them up to bigger things. What we need to do is to apprise them of maturity, of grown-up matters. They're not going to get that from their friends.
No, you're exactly right. Henry Ford was once accused by a nationally known magazine for being stupid. Maybe insane. I forget exactly what the term was. And so he sued the magazine for slander. In court, the defense attorney for the magazine tried to prove that he really was stupid by asking him about a bunch of historical dates, wars, politics, and, you know, basic U.S. trivia and the like. After failing to correctly answer any of the questions, Ford objected, and he says, hold on here. He says, why should I muddle my brain with all this useless information when at the punch of any number of buttons on my desk, I can summon any number of people to give me those answers? How does a parent answer a teenager who might give a similar reply about knowing the same kind of historical data, but instead of a desk with buttons, they're talking smartphones?
Yeah, I mean, there is some validity to that.
I hear young people say this. Why do I need to memorize the Gettysburg Address? I can always retrieve it whenever I need to know those words.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this is fine for those materials that are merely information. But are you going to say that the Gettysburg Address is only a piece of information? Is the Sermon on the Mount just a school subject that you need to call up at a certain time in order to do your homework? No. We elevate certain materials to the level of things that we want to put into our own heads and make them part of our minds and our character.
And your life.
Our heart and our souls.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you're not Henry Ford, Jr., you know? you're not Henry Ford yet, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't start putting some of the stuff in your head, you may never get there.
Exactly. And, I, you know, Henry Ford had a certain kind of genius, but I would say that this outlook on regarding these things as useless or as pointless or again, something that I can just recall when necessary just turns them into tools.
Right.
They're just instruments, like the assembly line is just a set of instruments. And we want to say culture is more important than that. It runs deeper than
that's
that.
That's exactly right.
We need to take a break here. You're listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry, and our guest, Mark Bauerlein, who is the author of The Dumbest Generation. We'll be talking more about that. And Mark, I'd also like to touch on how much of a moral problem this is. Certainly we know it's a societal problem, but is it a moral problem too? We'll touch on that when we come back on Licensed to Parent. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedtoparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedtoparent.org. Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel. And again, our guest today is Mark Bauerlein, the author of the book, The Dumbest Generation, How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our Future, or Don't Trust Anyone Under 30. Mark, right before the break, I mentioned that I'd like you to address the issue of how much of a moral problem this is. We know that society itself is suffering, but are we dealing with a moral issue here as well?
Anything that affects you emotionally, you might feel it just emotional, It has a moral component. George Washington took moral instruction from the ancients. He loved the play Cato by Addison, Cato about the noble Roman.
But he had to know his history to even know that, though, didn't he?
That's right. It was understood nobody should become a political leader who has not read Plutarch and seen the lessons in liberty that you can take from Julius Caesar and Mark Antony, many of which are negative lessons,
right?
By the way. You learn what not to do. You learn things such as when Odysseus is able to escape from Polyphemus. And one of the ways, the Cyclops, who is consuming his men, and they blind Polyphemus, and Odysseus has tricked him by telling him his name is No Man, or Nobody. When they're escaping in their ship, Odysseus just can't help yelling out, "Hey, Polyphemus, let everyone know it was Odysseus who overcame you." Well, Polyphemus then summons his father, Poseidon, and says, "You got to do something about this guy, Odysseus. Look what he did to me." And Poseidon does wreak revenge on Odysseus. In other words, Odysseus, you'd won. You had escaped, but your pride got away with you, and you had to boast. You had to gloat. This is not what a good leader does. When you win quietly, and you walk away. Because it actually cost several lives of his men. This is a lesson that leaders take. This is moral instruction from the materials of history, literature, and art. Now, the problem is that with these digital tools, they are taking their moral instruction from one another and from the media that is peddled to them. And the media usually peddles to them fantasized versions of teenagers. And this does not show them how to be responsible, how to grow up, how to avoid all of the silliness of adolescence. Harry Potter, I believe, is a terrible case in point. I'll just mention one thing. Have you noticed when you read the Harry Potter books how often these children bicker with one another? They fight. They criticize. Harry, at one point, goes on a 3-page rant. It's all in capital letters against Hermione and Ron for not contacting him over the summer, and he felt lonely and abandoned. And so he is just going to rant against them. And I read these to my son, and I said, "Jack, do you think Harry may be overdoing it a little bit?" And he kind of nods his head yes, but this is not the way children should act. I mean, they want to act this way, but the bickering, the banter, the ironies, the criticism, the gossip that they do, we should try to suppress this. But
sounds like a reality show.
It feeds on this material.
Yeah. In your book, you also mentioned this generation's lack of appreciation for fine arts. What has guys like Jay-Z, Eminem, Macklemore, Lady Gaga, what have they brought to the table for our kids?
The language, the attitudes. When we disengage art from a moral component. What we're trying to do something that is impossible to do.
You're right.
Serious art always has a moral component to it. And so I think that there's a great disavowal going on when people look at TV shows, say, or movies, and just, oh, it's just about fun. You know, it's just a TV show. Mm-hmm. I think that actually values, norms, behaviors are being soaked up, not just from one viewing. I'm talking about years of repeated viewing. And what happens is you start to feel like certain behaviors, which were at one time disallowed, yeah, disapproved of, they just become accepted.
Well,
they just become normalized.
And I think it really compounds things when Jay-Z and Beyonce get invited to the White House, you know, lifted up by leaders, people who are supposed to be, you know, looked up to. They're our nation's leaders. And yet, you know, these people are looked at as almost gods. I couldn't imagine Harry Truman. I couldn't imagine Ronald Reagan having Beyonce or Jay-Z perform in the White House. To me, it diminishes the office. Your comment?
It is absolutely stunning to hear our president can do an interview for magazines in which he says things like this. This was in a 2010 interview in Rolling Stone. He is referring to what's on his iPod, and he mentions some Stevie Wonder and Bob Dylan, Rolling Stones, little Miles Davis. He even mentions opera, but he says, I'm not a big opera buff in terms of going to opera. Thanks to Reggie, that's his personal aide, my rap palette has greatly improved. Jay-Z used to be sort of what predominated, but now I've got a little Nas and a little Wayne and some other stuff, but I would not claim to be an expert. Malia and Sasha, his children, are now getting old enough to where they start hipping me to things. This is an embarrassment.
Now, this is an English professor at Emory that we're talking to,
right,
here.
Right.
And for the president of the United States to be talking about a rap palette, have you ever read the lyrics of some of these rap songs? What about the misogyny, the glorification of violence?
How about the openly occultic practices?
Indeed. And so when our president is saying this, and what, is he trying to be cool? He's trying to be hip. He's trying to show the young, hey, I understand
so.
You. You have to show the young something better. They crave something more than this kind of cheap pandering.
No, you're exactly right. But the young people can see right through that. And I think this is one reason why young people have such a disdain and a distrust for adults. Because there's a part of the human experience, and it's the deeper spiritual side, that these kids know there's something rotten in Denmark, even with the stuff that they're entertained by.
And they do, but here's my worry. If we do not answer that craving that they have for something better, nobler, we think of Paul, think on these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is beautiful, if we don't answer that, I worry that their desire is just going to flatten. It won't be as strong when they're 25 as it is when they are 18. This is our job, to provide that for them at that critical period of life when they can hear it. And if we're not doing it through those threshold years, I worry we've lost them forever.
I hope you're hearing that, parents, because these kids are fighting a war within themselves, which is why America, one of the reasons why America leads the world in teen suicide. As we part, what one thing would you like to leave parents with today that would give them the greatest assurance that their kids aren't going to be part of the dumbest generation?
Right. It would be that young people today have never been more vulnerable to peer pressure.
That's true.
They have tools delivering peer news, gossip, photos, websites, language, 24 hours a day in all spaces, in their bedroom at midnight, in the back seat of the parents' car, while in the middle of the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So what parents need to do is to insist upon intervening in this peer pressure and apply some adult pressure.
Parents got to buck up.
They have to realize that they are in a zero-sum game. Your kids are only awake and conscious so many hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the hours do you want to let it be filled by youth, social stuff? How much influence do you want to have upon them? If you don't act vigilantly on this, if you aren't consciously speaking to your kids, reading books, magazines, listening to intelligent radio and TV
right.
with your kids, you are relinquishing the field to the youth culture that is helping to destroy the rest of our culture in this country.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for being on our program today. The time flies, and we would like to have you join us again in the future at some point, if you would be so kind. Is there a way that folks can find out more about you and find out how to get a copy of your book, The Dumbest Generation?
Well, Google. Of course. It's the answer to everything. they can certainly Google. I have a website, thedumbestgeneration.com, and Amazon has the book these days. And people should feel free to contact me by email at Emory University. Parents who want some suggestions about their kids, or kids who want to contact me, I do get emails from them asking advice, and I always answer whenever I am contacted.
So use that digital technology as a tool, folks, not a weapon.
There you go. Our guest today has been Mark Bauerlein, a professor of English at Emory University in Atlanta, and also the former director of research and analysis at the National Endowment for the Arts, where he oversaw studies about culture and American life. Mark is the author of the book, The Dumbest Generation: How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our Future. Or, and I love this part, don't trust anyone under 30. We also mentioned earlier in the program that both Mark and our host, Trace Embry, were part of a documentary filmed several years back here at Shepherd's Hill and elsewhere called Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. We have that DVD available on our website at licensedtoparent.org. There you will also find a button in the upper right portion of the screen marked Donate. We would so love to have you join us as a partner in the ministry outreach of Licensed to Parent. Again, Licensed to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, which is a one-year therapeutic rehabilitation program for teens in crisis. We're only able to minister to these teens, and likewise through this program to their parents, by your generous donations. Again, you can donate. It's a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. You can donate online securely at licensedtoparent.org. And we thank you in advance for any help you can offer. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel, hoping you'll join us again next time as we again renew our License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless. We'll see you next time.